Verse number 7, Genesis 39, the Bible said, "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wotteth not what is in with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" You can be seated. For a few moments tonight, I want to preach on the subject that I think will cure anything that ails you. Now, I know in this hour there are a lot of cure-alls being put on the market and promised that it'll cure everything. And I don't believe in all those things, but I do believe that what I'm fixing to tell you tonight will cure what ails you. And it is what I call the ministry of thanksgiving. The ministry of thanksgiving. We're going to notice how that Joseph, unbeknownst to himself, when he retained that attitude of gratitude through all the trials and tribulations, that very spirit of thankfulness would be that which would preserve him and deliver him from those crucial crossroads of life and bring him to that mountain peak where God could use him. But it's not only borne out to be true in Joseph's life, but I want to say to you tonight, as well as to my own heart, that this matter of gratefulness, this matter of thankfulness, carries such weight in heaven, and also it produces much fruit on earth. It truly, thanksgiving truly, is a ministry. It is that which from our hearts ministers to God, and then God will turn it around and reciprocate it right back to you and I, and we will be able to witness the very bounty and blessing of simply having a heart that is thankful and is grateful. The Bible is filled with this great truth of being thankful and of being grateful. How that you and I in everything are to give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. And I do believe that the spirit of thanksgiving, the attitude of gratitude, is the difference between you and I enduring life and enjoying life. There are just some things that come along hand in hand with thanksgiving that you can't get out of anything else. This world cannot reproduce it. As I was looking through the scriptures at the places where thanksgiving and thankfulness is mentioned, I seemed to notice that it never was there by itself. But there was always some other kindred spirits, like-minded spirits, that seemed to instantaneously show up, sort of like a reunion. I noticed wherever you found thanksgiving, you was liable to find praise. It'll just break out on you. I noticed that the Bible talked about thanksgiving with joyfulness or joy. The word thanksgiving in the heart of it, if you'll look it up in the Strong's, contains the word grace. It's an attitude of unworthiness, an attitude of grace. And so when thankfulness is expressed and gratefulness is expressed, automatically, I don't care if it's in a service like this morning, or maybe it's in your living room at the house, or maybe it's in the car riding down the road. You try. You let thanksgiving begin to be expressed, and all of a sudden, here come praise. He'll move right in on you. And then joyfulness will spring up, and grace will just smother everything, and peace will just take over. Because they just group up together. They just come together. They just have a reunion. And of course, on the other side of that, you go to grumbling. And you'll get to noticing how quick that these kindred spirits leave out. And some lesser spirits begin to move in. I mean, you go to complaining on the job or in the house or in the home or in the church or wherever you're at, you go to growling and complaining, and praise will just go silent. Joy will jump out the window. It just seems as though that all of those spirits that are so wonderful just will not hang around where thanksgiving is not. And I don't know about you, but those are the kinds of spirits that I like to have around, don't you? I like to be there when they're there. And of course, the thing that brings them there is the spirit of thanksgiving. That which will cure, listen to me tonight, that which will cure whatever ails you. And it'll minister like nothing else is able to minister to your heart. My thought comes from these three verses that I've read. You know the story of Joseph's life. How that his brothers hated him. How that they sold him. How that he was bought down in the land of Egypt. How that he was enslaved. How that here in this text he was lied on. How that he was imprisoned. And then through the providence of God, he was raised up to be the prime minister. And the question might be asked, how in the world did a young man come out on top after going through all of that? The answer is one word. And it'll always be the same word in your life and in my life. It is the word thanksgiving. It'll work anywhere, and it'll work anytime, and it'll work under any circumstance, and it'll work under all circumstances. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That thanksgiving will do what nothing else will do. It will cure what ails you. It will minister unto you. Now notice here in our text how that this spirit, this attitude of thanksgiving to God comes into full operation at probably the most vital time in Joseph's life. I believe that this is probably the most vital time because in all the other experiences of his life, he had no choice. He didn't have no choice when his brothers put him in the pit. He didn't have no choice when they sold him to the Ishmaelites. He didn't have no choice when he was bought and purchased there. He didn't have no choice when he was made a slave. He didn't have no choice. But right here in this text, he had a choice. And his choice was to be made based upon this very principle, and it delivered him. It delivered him. The fact that through every experience that he had had in the past, when he had no choice, it seems as though he'd have retained the one thing that nobody can take from you, and that is being grateful for what God has done for you and what God has done through others. He retained that through every bit of it. And so when he came to this text, it is here he's going to be able to make a choice. But he makes that choice out of the well of the Spirit that is so vibrant within him. He just wants, he can't help, he can't help it. He's been of that Spirit all along. He told his brother, said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good. He said, there's been something eating at me ever since you boys slapped me around. And it is this, I praise God in spite of it. Ain't just something bouncing on the inside of my walls ever since I got brought down here to this place that is called Egypt. And it is the fact that God is good to me. And this Spirit that he had worked in this very dark hour. I want to say to you, where money won't work, where human strength won't work, where ingenuity won't work, when even you fail, I'm telling you, when you got a heart that wants to praise God, it'll work every time in any situation. I don't know if you're picking up on that or not. I don't know if you're understanding me or not. I'm offering you a cure-all for whatever's ailing you tonight and whatever will ail you tomorrow. Just haul off and thank God and find out that it does work when nothing else will work. Now, there are three things that I want to briefly say to you about this attitude of gratitude that worked on Joseph's behalf and a work for you and me. This ministering spirit that will operate in our lives, that God will turn around in reverse and send it right back to us. That we're not just using words when we say thank you, Lord. But there's a ministry in those words that we don't realize that it's ministering to God's heart, then it turns around ministers to our heart, and then it ministers to hearts that are all around us. It'll do something I cannot tell you again. It'll do something nothing else will do. Just to haul off and thank the Lord. Three things I want to point out in this text. Joseph is being allured. He's being tempted. He's being tested. He's being drawn. He's being tried by this wicked, vile woman, as we all know. But he does not succumb because he's got thanksgiving in his heart. Now, let me mention this thought. First of all, the spirit and the attitude of gratitude, the spirit of thanksgiving, kept Joseph focused. It will let you see things like they need to be seen. Because God knows that there were so many things that transpired in his life that it would have been easy for him to have got his mind on his brothers and their attitude. And how that if he'd ever got a chance, he'd retaliate against them. There would have been a great temptation for him to become bitter and angry over being turned into a servant in a pagan land. There would have been that temptation for him to have wanted to reach out, lash out, and to fight back. And he could have filled his mind and his heart with vileness. And I guess in a way, he could have been justified for it because he had been done wrong. And I'm here to tell you, you already know it, that some folks will do you wrong. And some circumstances will be beyond your comprehension and your understanding. And you'll find yourself getting agitated and aggravated and frustrated and wanting to sit around and boil and steam and think about it to the point that you can't even sleep. And you just dream of getting even with somebody. But he never did do that. The reason why he didn't is because he didn't have no room in his mind for all of that. He had too much of a praise going on because he didn't get his eyes on his brothers. He didn't get his eyes on the Ishmaelites. He didn't focus on being a slave. Somehow he couldn't get his mind off of God and God's goodness, and it delivered him in the worst hours of his life. Thanksgiving will keep you seeing things like you ought to see them. It'll keep you focused. As I'm going to tell you, if you look at me long enough, you're going to find something to growl about. If you look at your husband long enough, you're going to find something to complain about. If you listen to your wife long enough, you're going to find something to get frustrated about. And if you're not careful, you'll go to focusing on those things. And the more you focus on them, the more you lose the spirit and attitude of gratitude. And you start getting bitter and you start getting angry. And then you start getting in trouble because you're not seeing things like you ought to see them. Now this little word, thanks. I got to studying that word, thanks. Now, we use it as Southerners in different ways. We say, Brother David, thank you. But if you're a real Southerner also, you'll say, you know, I was thanking the other day. We say it the same way. I wondered about that. I got to looking, and the reason why I knew it, I got to looking up that word. And did you know that in the Anglo-Saxon Old English, the word thanks is the same word as think. They never did used to say think. They always said thank. But now we modernized, and them Yankees started talking about thinking. But we Southerners never did get into thinking. We still thanking. See? Because the truth of the matter is, your thinking needs to always be thinking. You need to be thinking while you're thinking. And what Joseph was doing, when that old woman come after him, he simply said to her, lady, I don't know what you're thinking, but here's what I'm a-thinking. I've been thanking God for how good he is to him. I've been thanking him for the vertical and the horizontal. And I've been a-thinking about how good my master's been to me. I've been a-thinking about how he's put everything into my hand. Matter of fact, I've been if you hold on, I want to testify while you're here and tell you that I've been blessed by God Almighty. You're talking about shutting a woman down quick. He shut her down. Why? Because he was a-thinking while he was a-thinking. And while he was a-thinking, he was thanking because he was thanking while he was a-thinking. Don't ever let anything of this old world, I don't care how mean, I don't care how ugly and how dark and vile it is, get your heart off of thanking God. Thank him for the morning. Thank him for the evening. Thank him for nighttime. Thank him for your wife. Thank him for your children. Thank him for old time salvation. Thank him for forgiveness. Thank him for the love of God. Thank him for being washed in the blood. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. And don't ever get to where you can't thank him. Because while you're doing that, while the rest of this world Their focus is getting all messed up. Yours is going to be clear as a bell. So here's the way I see things. I was thinking about how I ought to thank God. I'm here to tell you that thanksgiving will keep you focused. Now, second thing I want to say to you. Oh, boy. I'm telling you, it'll cure what ails you. It's the remedy for all society. And if you don't believe it, just bump into somebody like I did, the little old black lady at the, I'll tell you, at the post office. And she goes to thinking, and she calls me to go to thinking. And then we go to thinking together. And right in the middle of the post office, here comes praise, and here comes joy, and here comes peace, and here comes grace, and it gets dangerous. I told you this morning, I felt like I'd been tasered. And all that happened was somebody had a heart that wanted to say, thank you, Lord, for your blessings on me. Thanksgiving will keep you focused. Now, I hate to say this at this, but I'm going to tell you something. This thought right here is a life-changing thought. And if you don't believe it, you try it. And it'll change everything about your life. And it'll change a lot of things about other people's lives. Just thanking God. Now, it kept him focused. But there's another importance about this matter of thanksgiving. Joseph is in this room all by himself with this wicked gal. She's making a proposal to him. And she's saying, you know, it's just me and you. Now, Joseph, again, he could have got to thinking about his past. And he could have said, well, you know, bless God, I ain't seen Daddy in so long, I don't even know if he's alive. My brothers have mistreated me, hated me. I've been bought and sold, and now I'm in bondage down here. And nobody knows what's going on in here. Matter of fact, I don't even think anybody cares about me. And had he had that attitude, he would have succumbed to the luring and the temptation of that woman. But here's the key that I want you to understand. It is this. Gratefulness always creates a spirit of faithfulness. Are you hearing me? You find a man or a woman that's grateful for their husband or wife, you don't have to worry about them. They'll be faithful. Watch out when you begin to nitpick and you begin to see faults and failures and you begin to major on that, because what's going to happen, you're going to get tripped up in the presence of somebody else because you're not grateful. You're going to succumb to unfaithfulness. Unfaithfulness always succumbs to ungratefulness, always succumbs to unfaithfulness. But here, Joseph is expressing this matter of God, and he's faithful to him and his master. And he said, I just want to stay faithful to him. And as a result of his gratefulness, he remained faithful. You take a man on the job and he gets to nitpicking about how he ain't getting paid enough and how he needs more of this and he don't like the ways we fire him. He ain't no good to you, nobody else. He ain't going to hang around long no way. And I noticed when I was a pastor, and I could have those people, they come in, they're just as sweet and kind, they could just eat you up. And some of them hang around a few months, and then they wish they had eat you up. They just got that old cantankerous look on their face. And they say, well, don't you think the service was a little long today? And what do you think about this? And what do you think about that? And they began to get it within them, a spirit of ungratefulness. And when they did, it won't be long till they're going to be unfaithful. They're going to move out. They'll start laying out on Sunday morning. Then they won't be there Sunday night or Wednesday night. Ungratefulness produces this matter of unfaithfulness. I really think that it's the problem in the whole world. And if you want it illustrated, go back to the prodigal son. And you'll find out that the key to the problem in the prodigal son's life is found out by what he said to his daddy. He said, "Father, give me the portions of goods that falleth unto me." In other words, he had an ungrateful attitude. Now, I didn't have to go to the far country with him. He didn't lose everything in the far country. It wasn't the wild women and gambling that took everything he had. It was an ungrateful spirit on that day when he talked to his father the way he did. And can I say to you, I can prophesy your future by the spirit that is retained within you for right now. And if it is a spirit of envy, a spirit of jealousy, a spirit of bitterness, and all those other spirits that seem to come together, honey, you are in trouble. But I don't care what situation, listen to me, I don't care what situation you're in tonight, if you'll look around long enough, you'll find something to thank God for, and that something will keep you out of trouble. You see, this matter of thankfulness, it kept him focused. It kept him faithful. And then let me say to you lastly, I notice in this text, and I'm going to say it with a twist on it, that this matter of gratefulness and thankfulness not only kept him focused, and not only as he retained that spirit of love for God, kept him faithful, but I'm going to tell you something, it kept him free. Keep him free. Nothing will bind you like a spirit will. Matter of fact, you can't be bound unless a spirit binds you. I don't care where you're at. You can't be bound. And I know that what happened because of his attitude of gratitude, he not only retained that faithfulness and he not only had kept that focus, but thank God it set him free. Somebody said, "Well, I thought he went to jail." Oh, they tried to lock him up. But honey, you can't lock a spirit of freedom up. You can't find a can small enough to put it in. It won't stay there. It ain't cannot be bound. As a matter of fact, he wasn't put in. God was a bringing him out. He was set and making him free as a bird. Now think about it. I know Joanna will remember Robert Lipscomb. I got him out of prison. I went to the warden at the prison next to the church that I pastored where I lived. And I'd heard about Robert and his testimony. I went and hunted him up. And he was every ounce of it. I'm telling you, he'd been locked up 8 years for robbery. But he had a heart. While he was in prison, he got saved. And he just, a resounding testimony of praise. I was so impressed, I want him to come preach for me. So I went to the warden next to the house and I said, "Can you get Robert transferred over here so he can come preach a meeting?" Old black boy. He said, "Well, I wish I had." Now, here's a man that was lost. He was a warden. He was lost. He said, "I wish I had Robert here all the time." I said, "Why?" He said, "There's a different spirit in this place when Robert was here." Think about that. A whole prison. Woo! I don't think he was locked up. He said, "I'll do that if you'll do me a favor." I said, "What?" He said, "Do you tape your services?" I said, "I do." He said, "If you'll tape your services and bring them up here and let me listen to them." A lost man. He said, "I'll get him over here."
I got him transferred over there. I remember I still got the tapes the first night. He didn't know much about church and stuff like that. He got saved in prison. He grabbed the mic. He said, "Preacher, it's all right if I just use the mic." He just stayed right down here about like I am, going back and forth. And I'll never forget what he said. Tears just a-flowing. He said, "Folks ask me all the time. They say, 'Brother Robert, how much time are you serving?' And every teeth, you could count every tooth in his head." He said, "Oh, praise God. I ain't serving time. I'm serving Jesus." Woo! Hallelujah! For a spirit that cannot be bound by this old world, because it's a spirit of praise and gratitude that there ain't no hole that can put you in but what you can't praise Him out of that hole.
Joseph ain't been... Now here's the reverse side of that. Could you imagine if Joseph, through bitterness, had succumbed to this wicked woman? And how he'd have lived the rest of his life under the thumb, being imprisoned by her. It'd have been a tragedy. And I'm here to tell you, some of you tonight, many in this, most of the folks in this old world, is living under the thumb of some spirit that has bound you. Yeah, you're able to get in your car and drive. Yeah, you're able to go in and out of your house. Yeah, you're able to go, but you're bound every day by that spirit. And the only thing that's going to break it loose is the attitude of gratitude that will let you out of that prison.
Amen.
Matter of fact, it just kept taking him up. Seemed like the further down they tried to push him, the further up Thanksgiving took him. Found this to be so in Joseph's life. It's true in my life. It's true in your life. Now, these are things that work 100%. I'm talking about Thanksgiving works 100%. Now, are you hearing me? I can't recommend Dal Jones. He ain't 100%. I don't know if he's Baptist, Methodist, whatever. He ain't 100%. I can't recommend anything that's where it ain't 100%. But I'm here to tell you, based upon the Word of God, Thanksgiving is 100%. Invest in it and watch out and see if it won't work on your behalf. It'll keep taking you up. As a matter of fact, it'll multiply on you. Thanksgiving will just keep you giving you more things to be thankful for. Old Joseph's down there. He's thanking God all the way through. He said, he told his brethren. He said, "You meant it for evil. God meant it for good." He told that woman. He said, "God's been good to me, and my master's been good to me." And what that Thanksgiving did is it just kept moving him up and kept moving him out. Have you noticed how that's the way it works? Thanksgiving brought Joseph to the place that he was thankful. That he was thankful. Because you could ask him, "Joseph, how in the world did you get up here with that ring on your finger, that coat on your back, and being the prime minister of Egypt?" He said, "Well, one thing I can tell you was I was thankful." And said, "I thanked my way all the way through the whole mess to where I'm right here." And said, "If I ever had anything to be thankful for, it's the fact that I was thankful. I'm going to keep on thinking or thanking thankful." Nothing will multiply on you like thankfulness will. Because the more you're thankful, the more you're going to find to be thankful about. Are you hearing me? Illustration of that in the Old Testament. Just a moment and I'll be done. Ruth told her mom-in-law, you remember that story, the book of Ruth? Said, "I'm going to find me a field in which I can find grace." That word grace is contained within the word thankfulness. Feeling unworthy and appreciating it. Anywhere you find it. That's what grace is all about. So basic what she was saying was, "I'm going to see if I can find something to be thankful for." And so they didn't have anything to eat, and so she went into this field. She couldn't go in with the reapers. The law wouldn't let her.
She had to wait until they had moved out. She could go into the corners and get to the places and glean. But she wasn't coming in there for a whole lot. She just thought, well, if I can get enough to make a biscuit for me and my mama-in-law, I'll be happy. And guess what? She went in there with the intention of finding something she could be thankful for. And guess what she found? She found one thing she could be thankful for. She went in there and said, oh, they missed that one. Oh, look, they missed that one. They ought to fire them. Look, there's another one. Oh, my God. Well, look here. I may make a biscuit on this one. And then she ran over to the next one. Oh, she said, there's a whole lot of thankfulness in this one hand. I think I could get a biscuit out of that. I'm going to see if I can get my... Woo, look here. Boaz came home. He said, anything new happened around here today? The fellow said, most exciting things happened around here is that lady right there. He said, what do you mean? He said, she come in here looking for something to be thankful for. He said, she's looking for grace. And I told her, well, all you can do is go back here. You can't go out there in front. And said, I've noticed her all day long reaching in there, getting them little things, and thanking big things because of it. Hallelujah for this little thing. And I found another little thing. Well, look at there. There's a little thing. Problem with most of us in America, we've been so spoiled, we got to have something big to even think about thanking. But honey, if you want to get on the road of multiplying, you find something to thank God for. I don't care how small it is, and it's going to grow on you. And he went down there to her. He said, sister, but they told me about you up here and said, I've even heard about how you've been treating your mom-in-law and how thankful you are. And said, you come over here to find something to be thankful for. And said, I'm going to give you something to be thankful for. Are you hungry? Said, come on over here and eat lunch with me. She said, well, I wasn't expecting that much. He said, I know, but come on. And she went over and sat down. The Bible said he passed her that bread. He passed her that bar. She passed, and don't you know, in her heart, she's saying, thank you, Lord. Woo! And she is so thankful. Finally, he looked into her eyes and he said to her, honey, if you don't mind marrying me, I'll work up the papers. Right. And he worked up the papers at the courthouse at the gate. Yep. And he married her. Now you got to understand, he was a rich man. Now, if a woman marries a rich man, you know what that makes her? Rich woman, you better believe it. And don't you know, the day came when she stood out on the front porch and looked at all that thankfulness that started with one little seed and now it's blank, and she said, hallelujah. I was thanking him for one, and there's billions of them out there. I'm going to keep on thanking him. And then it got bigger. The day came, no doubt, when they told her. All she had to been was alive for four generations when David was born. Think about that. And she was a young woman when Boaz married her. And I've met a lot, there might be some here tonight that there's four generations alive in your family. And I've seen a lot of fives. And I don't know if this happened or not, but it makes good preaching, so hold on. I can imagine somebody running up to her one day and said, Mama Ruth, Samuel just came down from Shiloh and poured oil on your great-grandson's head and he's going to be king in Israel. She said, woo! I just started out looking for one little old seed to praise him for. And I got a handful, then I got fed lunch, and then they turned the whole field over to me. And now my great-grandson's king in Israel. Yes. Somebody said, well now, who is that old lady that runs around the throne room like she owns it? He said, don't say nothing to her. That's the king's great-grandmama. Huh? And one of these days we'll see her in heaven. I'm talking about how thankfulness multiplies. And we'll go up and shake hands with her. And she'll say, damn, you know me. I mean, you read the book of Ruth. And I come out of there looking for grace. And I kept finding more and more and more and more. And then finally my son, great-grandson, became king in Israel. But she said, that ain't nothing. That's my great-great-great-great-grandson on the throne. It's just getting bigger. to tell you something. There's no end to the measurement of a thankful heart. And there's no ill it won't cure. Are you hearing me? No ill it won't cure. And it'll do for you what nothing else can do. And I like that verse. In everything, give thanks. Now, he ain't doing that just because he wants to hear you. He's doing that because he wants to help you, and that's the well from whence it's going to come. Huh? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Did you? I don't know if you. I don't. You didn't get that verse. I can tell you. I can tell right now by the way you're looking. In, help me. In what? How much is that? Everything. Give. In other words, you shouldn't be able to find anything that you can't thank God for. I didn't say it. And I didn't say it was easy, but I want to tell you, it pays off. In everything, give thanks. If you'll look around there long enough, there'll be some little something in there that you'll see that you'll be able to say, well, I didn't know that was in there. Thank you, Lord. And the moment that hits, you've started down a road, it's going to multiply on you. Because if you'll find one thing, it's going to turn into two. And then if you find two things, it's going to turn into three. And if you find three things, before long, you're going to have a bushel basket load of praising God just because you're thanking Him. Now let me give you this little illustration. Talking about in everything, give thanks. I think I came by here the Sunday that my brother had passed away up in Masontown, near Morgantown, West Virginia. And I've preached stuff here for you to know that it's been, alcohol has been the vice of my family back through the generations. And I've buried now four brothers as a result of it. I've got a sister that's got cirrhosis of the liver. It's been a vicious thing. And got four daughters birthed into this world, and all four of them's on drugs. Went there to West Virginia and had a pretty good business and sold it out. He told me, I think it's when my dad passed away, we was together, and he said, Dana, I bought a house, and right beside it is a bar. And I said, Ward, you know what that did to Dad? He lost everything, killed a man in one. I said, it'll destroy. Oh, no, I ain't going to drink it. I'm just going to sell it. I said, no, it's going to ruin you. Right. Moved there, not only ruined him, as alcohol does, it ruined everybody. It's a curse. It's a curse. Nothing but tragedy and darkness. When he passed away and I knew I was going to get that phone call, I went up there with my heart burdened. And I think I shared a little bit of it here that Sunday morning. I didn't want to go up there and talk about that dark hole. They already knew all about that. I didn't want to go up there and talk about all the heartache and all of that other stuff. I just didn't want to go down that road. I somehow wanted to point them to Jesus and tell them there was hope beyond all of this, and that they didn't have to be entangled in this, and they could turn a page. The Lord had turned it for them. But I didn't know how to do that without first addressing the life that he had lived. He had influenced all of them. I couldn't act as if it didn't happen. But I didn't know how to get from all that darkness, and the Lord wanted me to talk about the light. But how was I going to get to the light? And when I got there, they told me, they said, well, I'm talking about this matter of giving thanks for all things. I had no idea I could thank God for this. And so, I said, well, you young'uns, I called the wife over there. I said, this is your daddy and your husband. I said, now, I'm just here to preach the funeral. Whatever y'all want done, y'all need to tell me and that'll be done.
They said, well, Dana, all we want is two songs. And said, we've already told the lady there, the director, what songs they are. And I said, well, okay. So I went back there in the office to talk to her, and she said, well, we need to set up an order of service. I said, okay. She said, well, they want two songs. Well, you got to understand the kind of singing my brother and all them, it's all that whine stuff, you know, where you want a beer joint, and she's gone again with another, probably your brother, and all that other stuff. And I said, well, okay, well, what do they want? And they said, well, and I was, believe it or not, I was relieved with this one. She said, well, they want Amazing Grace by Elvis Presley. I said, well, at least they're getting Amazing Grace. That'd be all right. I can handle that. I said, well, what's the other one? I wasn't going to say nothing about any of them, and I didn't. They said, well, didn't tell me the song. They said they got a song by George Jones. Whew, boy, inside of me. I thought, Lord, how in the world? George Jones ain't got nothing. He's a million miles from what I've got to say. And I thought, you know, the most popular song he had out was He Stopped Loving Her Today. I said, you know, knowing my brother, that's probably it. And hear my heart's burden to preach the gospel to him. And I thought, Lord, this ain't going to be good. But I didn't say nothing. And I came around and the key to them playing the George Jones song, I said, Dad, I'll tell you what, let's just play it first. So I didn't tell them why, but I said, we'll play it first because I want to get it over with. Let's get George out of here. Last thing I want is George. And so I went over to sat down, and when I sat down, they started playing George. And I think I got just the first verse of George. But here's the thing I want you to understand. I'd have borrowed from your pastor $1,000 to not have George sing. I would have. They cut George loose. He got through the first stanza, and I wouldn't have took $10,000 for the song. I said, oh, God, thank you for George Jones. And I said, I don't know what all my friends and especially them legalists are going to think when I go around thanking God for George Jones singing at my brother's funeral. He wrote a song before he died and used to sing it, and I didn't even know it, and it's called Choices. He said everything I needed to say about my brother without me needing to say it and led me right in by the Holy Ghost into what I needed to say. Have you ever heard that song, Choices? Anybody here ever heard that song? You listen to George Jones, do you? Okay. Woo! I got the best of you there, didn't I, Robin? Listen, now here's my brother that's drank all of his life. His children picked this song out. I didn't. That I've had choices since the day that I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I'd listened, no, I wouldn't be here today. I'm living and dying with choices that I have made. And honey, there was two stanzas of that and what have you. And when they got done, my heart was just a flowing by the grace of God. I said, thank you, Lord, for George Jones. And I left that there and I said, I found this out. If you can thank God for George Jones singing in a funeral, you can thank God for just about anything. And the Lord spoke, and He's still speaking in that funeral. I'm getting calls to this day about the totality of that, not just the song, but how it led into what I had to say. And I said, thank you, Lord. I didn't have to dig into all that past. Old George just sung about it. Then I got up and told him, quoted him John 3:16, and said, I've come to tell you that you're special, so special Jesus died for you. He wants to save you. And you don't have to live like this. He'll make a difference. Fella called me the other day. He said, you know, Brother Danny, he said, one of them old boys called me the other day. And he said, you know, I heard that preacher down there preaching about throwing your special away. And he said, I've thrown mine away for years and years. He said, I'm about tired of that. Did I tell you? Did I say to you that there is a ministry in Thanksgiving? And they ain't no telling where it'll take you. There's no telling what it'll do with your marriage. It's no telling what it'll do with your, it's no telling what it'll do for this church. It's no telling what it'll do for you. I know one thing, it can't do anything but good. We're fixing to enter into a new year. And I'm going to give you the key to this next year. Somebody said, well, should I live? What should I do? You want to know what the will of God is? I'm going to give you the key to every issue in your life and mine. It is thankfulness. No matter where you're at and what's going on, lift your heart and head and go to thanking. And I promise you, it'll minister like you had never been ministered to. Thanking. Let's stand about our heads.